I'm going to say something about the BESS Commission in Northern Ireland, if I may. The BESS Commission was an independent commission into the to look at and to come up with a long-term vision for the future of the housing system in Northern Ireland. It was set up by the Chartered Institute of Housing in 2009. The commission was led by Lord Richard Best, who had been the chief executive of the Joseph Rowntree Foundation for many, many years before being elevated to the House of Lords, where he's a crossbencher. A very deep understanding of the interrelationships and connectivities between housing, health, well-being, and so on. Wonderful, wonderful man. There were two other commissioners, Alison Kilpatrick, interestingly a human rights barrister based in Belfast, and myself. And I was there because I was working in Northern Ireland at the time. I'd gone over the year before to work at the University of Ulster. And anyway, I was very kindly invited to sit on this commission. The report was published in 2010, and I'll very briefly say a word or two about it. But the interesting thing about it was when the report came out, it was very well received in the housing press, very well received indeed, and was held up to be an exemplar of challenging some of the white elephants in the room to do with housing in Northern Ireland. And that was great. And then it was ignored, which is the Ulster way, because it was asking too many why questions rather than how questions. And the why questions always hits the wrong buttons in Northern Ireland. And it's been of great interest to me, actually, since, to just to track the various committees in the Northern Ireland Assembly Government sitting there, and they hold all these little inquiries and reviews and all the rest of it, and they've gone round the circles on housing about four times since. They say the same weaselly words. They are now bringing in people like PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, to do big studies for them and so on and so forth. And yet, having got all the evidence, all the indicators you could want, that the Northern Ireland housing system is a complete basket case and a box of frogs, no one has the leadership capacity, the bravery to actually take it on. It's far better to keep talking around the houses and not actually come up with a concrete sort of way forward. The reason for that, if I could say, and I'll come back to the, what the BESS Commission said, it was, of course, and I'm certainly not underestimating the particularities, if you like, of Northern Ireland's history. It's a very divided, contested history indeed. It's not a very pleasant one over the last 50 years. Indeed, the whole civil liberties, again, movement started in 1968 because of sectarian allocation of housing by a local authority. And one single mother and a child were discriminated against, and it led to the civil liberties movement, civil rights movement getting active, and then that triggered then all the series of sectarianism and then the bloodshed that followed. The position in Northern Ireland is it's now devolved, it's been prorogued, I think, twice, but it's now back up and running. It is not a coalition government there, it's actually a power-sharing government between one unionist party, the Democratic Unionists, and Sinn Féin on the nationalist side. That power-sharing is important because it means that 11 government departments of state have been divvied up along tribal lines, and they don't talk to one another. And if you took something like housing could be affected by, oh, I would say at least 8 or 9 of those departments, except one department is, if you like, in pole position. But that's actually the responsibility of the Social Democratic and Labour Party, which is a minority group. So you can see it's incredibly difficult. There's not only fragmentation, there's authoritarian behaviour by the administration there. And interestingly, in 1972, in its history, when Northern Ireland came under direct rule, local authorities were marginalised. And local authorities don't play, I mean, I think it's dog poo and traffic light, not traffic lights, street lamps and hanging baskets, I think is what they're responsible for. They have no jurisdiction over planning matters, for example, no jurisdiction over infrastructure, and no influence over any of the big strategic issues. All that's done by central departments or by central agencies. And in 1973, because of that sectarian behaviour by local authorities in housing allocation, the Northern Ireland Housing Executive was set up, and that has actually continued through to this day. So again, local authorities have got no influence. If anything, they play a consultee role, and that's just about it. There's a property fetish in Northern Ireland, a bit like Justin talking this morning about that rampant speculation, that real greed for a quick buck in the Republic of Ireland. Well, the island of Ireland as a whole is characterised by that. Land and property is seen, you know, that's quite normal, okay? And you can see how that can affect then the different segments of the housing sector. Basically, in 2009, the Chartered Institute of Housing set up the BEST Commission, invited Lord BEST over, because there were clearly problems with the way that the Northern Ireland Housing Executive Housing, which is run through housing associations, was working. And basically, there was a fear that sectarianism was alive and well, but it was being done in a very subtle, hidden, under-the-table way. And that was evidenced by the evidence that came out that of the social housing estates in Northern Ireland, they are 90% homogenous. So that one's Catholic and that one's Protestant. And that's it. And the administrative attempts to kind of allocate a Protestant family into a Catholic estate or a nationalist family into a Protestant estate on paper looks dead easy. But in fact, the social, the people thing, you know, you're not going to take it, are you? Because you're out, you know, you're out of your own milieu, as it were, and you might be frightened. So there were lots of problems. So the institute set up this commission. It was to look at the key challenges and the opportunities associated with using housing as a lever to bring about better health, better economic opportunities, and so on, and to connect, to try and get this connectivity across the piece of Northern Ireland. But importantly, and I was really excited about this, it was to provide a learning space for practitioners. So instead of just talking to, you know, all the captains of industry type level, the chief executives and all that, we actually spoke right down at the coal face, as it were, and we spoke to community groups, and we went down to Dublin, and we spoke to community groups there, and we spoke to Shelter and all the different organisations involved with housing. And then we wanted to try to bring all that together. Our report, and I'm not going to go through what we said, but the main point we made is that the Northern Ireland Housing Executive really was too complicated, and what we suggested is that we separated its landlord and funding responsibilities, because effectively it was the landlord of all the housing association houses, effectively the line manager for them, but it was also the funder, and we thought that there should be a separation there to have a strategic vision for housing, making that connectivity, and allow the housing associations to get on with the job of providing houses and looking after their quality. And that was accepted. People liked that. But again, it's only now just beginning to gain some traction. We also looked at the issue of homelessness. That was a big issue. We looked at the ambition in Northern Ireland of shared communities where the two tribes, if you like, can live together. That is a big political issue. And I think that was particularly problematic because whatever the rhetoric, the reality was rather more dangerous, if I put it that way. And when you have different areas actually being characterised by flags or by bunting or by coloured curbstones and so on and so forth, you know, it's a bit tricky to try and bring in those sorts of pious the ideas. We also looked at affordable housing, we looked at housing standards, we certainly promoted the idea of mixed income, mixed tenure developments, and that went down very well, it has to be said. But again, putting that into effect, an interesting thing was we took on the developers. And one of the things we said in Northern Ireland is that the property development sector wants to get used to the idea of making a contribution to the, if you like, the public interest associated with the private development. Section 75 in Scotland, you know, like a planning gain. I don't like that term, but that was what was we were suggesting. And I kind of looked into it, and I discovered that they're known as Article 40s in Northern Ireland. There's been one ever achieved. I mean, you know, there's just nothing happening there. There's no reality. There's no sort of traction at all. We looked at fuel poverty, which is a major issue, and we looked at the environmental efficiency of it all. Lessons are quite simply, it's, I think, to do with political leadership and political bravery, and it's the fact that there is a lack of common sense. You know, there's no common sense at all, because people simply, you know, is that a Catholic common sense or a Protestant common sense? You know, you step backwards to look at that. But the big lesson for me was, we've got to talk, because Northern Ireland is actually characterised even to this day, and it's 4 years now since the report was published. Nothing has moved on it, really. But it goes from sullen silence to shouting loudly. There's no common ground. There's no discreet, respectful conversation about these issues, actually talking them through, like we've had today. This informed discussion, people respecting it, you know, getting the balance of 2 years and one mouth proper, you know, and it's been wonderful. But, and sadly, in a different place, in a different context, with a different history, and with different expectations and different baggage and all the rest of it, it goes from nothing being talked about, no attempt to connect, no attempt to understand, to shouting loudly. And in the background, there's the context that Justin very beautifully, I thought, explored this morning, of that high-powered property bubble which is being pumped up again, and people keep looking down there and saying, oh God, you know, I can do well out of this. So thank you very much. You've been very patient. Thank you.